a few quick reminders. Today is the day that there's going to be a gathering of young people at the West Houston Bible Church. I've had it in the bulletin. I don't believe I have it in the bulletin today, but we've had it in there for two Sundays. And we'll give you a map if you want to go and don't know how to get there. It's pretty simple to find. I believe it starts at 6:30, something like that. So if you are so inclined, I'm sure you'd be edified by going. Let's prepare ourselves this morning in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that You've given us to be good and faithful servants and to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank You for all that You have provided and done for us to be able to do that, Your mighty Word, this place. All we have to add is our positive volition. And we pray that You will open our minds, open our hearts, give us an objective attitude, so that when the Word of God steps on our toes, that we won't take it personally, that we won't feel sorry for ourselves, but indeed it will do what it is designed to do, and that is to build the character in us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This morning I'm going to give you a report, first of all, on the Austin Bible Church Pastors Conference, which I went to Friday, and then also it lasted until a Saturday in another location. It's good to be back. And you think, well, we didn't miss you. Didn't even know you were gone. But whenever I speak at another place and it's not my flock, it's not the same. It's very positive believers, and they're a great audience. But I can't read them like I can read you. And I was teaching some of the things that I've taught you, and I didn't get the vibes because they weren't my flock, and I didn't know for sure if they were getting it. So I just asked them. I said, you know, you're not my flock. I can't read you as well. If you're getting it, go like this. And to my delight, most of them went like this. So I'm going to talk a little bit about conferences and going to conferences. I think I'll start by telling you about the speaker, the different speakers there. The first one was Pastor Eric Bush, and he came from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And one of the nice things about going to conferences is that you get the Word taught, and the conferences that I would advise you to go to or tell you that it would be a good one are those who are Bible teachers who accurately exegete the Word of God. So you don't have to worry about going there and someone's going to turn you into a tongue speaker or something. But there's different personalities, and they come from different perspectives. Now, Eric Bush was Mr. Personality. And I say that not as a minus, but as a plus. He was just effervescent. And he told a joke to start with. And the joke must have taken at least 5 minutes to tell the joke. And it was so in-depth that you had to read it. You'd have to see the joke. But anyway, and he was a delight. Then the next speaker was Stan Newton. Now, Stan was just the opposite of Eric, Pastor Eric Bush. Stan was very academic, and he wasn't dry. I mean, he was easy to listen to, but he had a completely different perspective, and he was using the theological terms that you would hear at a seminary, and you had to really concentrate, and what he gave was good information, but it was just about as far removed from the tack that Pastor Eric Bush was given And so you get this flavor, you get these different perspectives, which I think are great. Also that evening, Pastor Emil Smith from Gulf Coast Bible Church down in Sweeney was the speaker. And they were at the conference, they were honoring those pastors who have been around for a long time, the seasoned veterans. There was at least two of them. One of them was Pastor Ralph Braun, and I'll tell you about him in a moment. But Emil Smith is right, he's just about to turn 80, and they're looking for a pastor to replace him. But to hear the wealth of experience that he had, he started out as a Midianite. And Midianites, they don't believe in eternal security, and they also don't believe in serving in the military. And so someone told him about this pastor that was given a conference down in Houston by the name of R.B. Thien. So he decided to go to that conference. And the way he put it was, I have never been so roasted in all my life. Well, you can imagine. No eternal security and don't serve in the military. And he said he could hardly get up the energy to stand up after it was over because he was so roasted. But he said he backed it all up. And by the time that he left that conference, he had already subscribe to eternal security and serving in the military. So he went back. He wasn't at the Sweeney Church at that time. He's from Montana. And he went back and he was in a denominational church. And the first thing he did was start teaching about eternal security and about the how important it is for men to serve in the military to protect their country. And wham, he was out. They couldn't have this. What he was telling the pastors, because there were several candidate pastors or men that were seeking to see if they had the spiritual gift of pastor teacher or not, and he went to scriptures saying, "Stand firm for the faith. It's not negotiable." So when he went back and taught the truth, people couldn't stand that, and they invited him to leave, and he was just as happy as he could be to see what the Lord had next for him. And so you had this wealth of experience and all these accounts and these stories that men lived through. And what an inspiration it was to see a man of his experience to explain these things to us. Also, John Voicy was a farmer, a deputy sheriff in Florida, and I met him at these conferences. So you meet people at these conferences. And I didn't get to hear him speak, but we get to talk, and he explains about how he got into the ministry. And see, every one of these pastors have a background, and just about all of them came from a different background. And it's interesting to hear these backgrounds and how the Lord can take people from every walk of life. Men that you would never suspect to be pastors and to hear how the Lord brought them into the ministry. When I started to speak, I explained to them about a little bit about how I got into the ministry, because they were talking about receiving the call, and I said, I didn't really receive a call. I don't think the Lord had my phone number. And I didn't mean that in a disparaging way. I mean, he taps men on the shoulder in different ways. And I said, a lot of high schools have a vote each year for seniors and who's most likely to succeed. And I said, if they had a vote in my school who is less likely to be a pastor, I would have won it hands down. And so anyway, John and I had a good conversation. Also, David Roseland is going to speak today. He wasn't there when I was there yesterday, because he has to travel all the way from Connecticut. And David Roseland is a phenomenal young man. He graduated from West Point and then went into the military and served in Iraq. And when he got out, he went to Dallas Theological Seminary, graduated there, and then he took over Dr. Robbie Dean's church in Connecticut. And that's where he is presently, and he's also working on his doctorate. just when you could just talk to him for a few minutes, you would just see he's a phenomenal young man. Also, we had Cliff Beveridge spoke, and Cliff has been a pastor for 4 years. I was on his ordination committee. He has a church that is started up similar to this one. He's built the church himself. In fact, when right after Cliff was ordained, he came here and he asked me, he said, I'm trying to make a decision, and he says, I don't know whether to go towards taking a church over that already exists or just building one from the ground up like you did. And so I gave him some ideas that he maybe could use since I had done that myself. And Cliff is, his wife Terry is just a delightful woman. Cliff is so humble and genuine. I see some of you over there nodding your head. He is a phenomenal pastor. In fact, to give you an idea, he's also technologically educated. And when we were trying to get up to speed on the internet and getting our sound system, these speakers that you see put up and wiring and so forth, he and Ken over here got together, and a lot of work went into getting this church, even though we're not a huge church, but we are technologically up to speed. And we had Cliff spend a lot of time here helping us, and we tried to reimburse him, and there was no way. I said, at least let us pay for your gas coming here. No way. Can we buy you a hamburger? No. He's doing it as unto the Lord. If you met Cliff and Terry, you'd fall in love with him right away. He's that type of guy. Then also we had Rolf Braun was there, and I got to visit with him a while. He's been in the ministry, I think he started in the early 50s. He's up in Oregon and Washington State. He's ordained nearly 50 pastors over the years. And I didn't get to hear him speak, but it was always a delight to talk to him. And then there was, of course, the host pastor, which is Bob Bollinger. Bob is just these pastors, just to be around them is a treat. Bob is so upbeat. He's a fabulous exegete in the Word. But he's just full of energy. And you get around him and you just kind of get full of energy and excited about the Word as well. So the first day we were at the church, and by the way, they just built a new church, a phenomenal church. And Austin Bible Church has always been so friendly and outgoing and gracious to me. When I go there, it's just like I know everybody now. I don't know everybody by name, but they welcome you to their conference. And what I want to explain to you is that I think there may be some of you out there that think, well, I don't like to go to conferences too much. And one reason is because I don't know anybody there. And I don't like to go places where I don't know anyone. And I would like to help you kick that idea to the curb. Because these people go way out of their way to have a conference at their church. And they are looking for people like you, like-minded believers who want to grow in the Word. And what you miss when you just get the DVDs of the messages is the great fellowship and rapport with these believers. And a lot of times the highlight of these conferences is not only what you learn doctrinally from the speakers, but the interaction with the people there. I'll give you an example. When I was, let's see, it was before I spoke, they had lunch there at the church. And I went and sat down at a table, and I knew one of the pastors there. Oh, I forgot about Hugh Crowder. That's who I sat by. Hugh Crowder is a hoot. That's all I can say. I think he's a little older than I am, but his personality is unique. And he talks like Peter Lorre, the actor. Do you all? And I'm so proud that I remembered that name, because I always try to tell people about Hugh Crowder, and I said, when he talks like this, like Peter Lorre. Do you all remember Peter Lorre? Well, and that's not disparaging him at all. It's just part of his charisma, I guess you would say. Just a delight. And I saw Hugh sitting there, and I went and sat by him. And I was sitting at the table, and there was a young man to my right at the table a few seats down. I didn't know who he was. And this is what I would suggest for you to do if you go to conferences and don't know anyone. I turned to him. I said, I don't believe I've met you. My name is Mike Smith. I'm pastor of Country Bible Church. He says, oh, well, my name is Dan Hawkins. And I said, oh, I like that name, Hawkins. It reminds me of the Hawkins rifle. And I said, what are you doing here other than, you know, just attending the conference? And he says, well, I'm with VMI, Village Missions International. And I said, what is your dad's name? He said, his name is Dan Hawkins. I guess I was talking to Junior. I said, Dan Hawkins? He said, yes. And it just dawned on me that about 12, 14 years ago, I went to a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when at the church, they would have people who would volunteer to house visiting pastors so they wouldn't have to get a motel room or something. And I stayed at his house with his parents. Dan Hawkins, that's why it rang a bell. And I said, oh, you're little Dan. I hadn't seen him. Of course, he was probably 9 years old when I saw him. And oh, he was into everything. Let me put it that way. He was full of energy. I said, you're little Dan. He said, well, I guess so. And he said, I recognized you. Well, I have changed in looks over the last 10, 12 years, but I didn't recognize him. There's no way, because he went from 10 to whatever it is now, 22, 24, whatever it is. And we just went right down memory lane. I talked about his mom and the things with his dad. But that would have never happened if I was so self-conscious that, oh, I better not speak to anyone because someone might notice me or I might say something and be embarrassing or something. All I did was introduce myself to him, and boom, look what happened. Another thing that happened that same day, I'll go into Saturday in just a moment, but in that same day, I had one lady stop me, and she said, Pastor Mike, and I have to confess, I'm pretty good with faces, and I'm horrible with names. And I ran into people there. I didn't know their names or their faces, and they would tell me things. This lady said, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you. She said, my husband and I have been listening to you for years. I said, really? I said, how, on the internet? She said, yes. She said, in fact, we wanted to move down into Brenham to go to your church, but my husband couldn't find the type of work that he had in Brenham that he did. And we just had a great conversation then. And as I was going out the door that evening, I was about to go to the motel, and I had another young man stop me. He said, Pastor Mike. I said, yes. He says, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. Of course, I don't know him from Adam. I mean, I should have. If I had a good memory, I probably would have remembered it. But anyway, he said, I'm getting married. I said, well, congratulations. He said, I just wanted to thank you for your book. You're married, now what? I said, you have my book? He said, oh, yes. I said, how did you get it? Well, it turns out that he was at Kevin Perkins' house 2 years ago when we had Bible bullets and barbecue then. And I, at that time, I was a key speaker, and I took a stack of my books, and he got them. And just about that time, his fiance walked up, and he introduced me to her. I said, hi, how are you doing? And I said, when are y'all getting married? She said, in 6 days. I said, wow. I said, have you read this book? She said, absolutely. And that's when I told him that he had indeed a treasure. This was a young woman, attractive young woman, that understood how marriage is the foundation of it. And if you don't understand the foundation in marriage, I don't care how much in love you are, then it's probably going to sink. It's going to crack up. Because God has constructed the foundation of marriage in such a way that is makes it last, and yet not many people know that. So again, just talking to people, and I'm just going to limit that day to those people, but constantly I was having that same thing. The next day we went to Kevin's ranch, which is out in the middle of, let me tell you, nowhere. I had directions, and I was following the directions, and I got on some road, 297 or whatever it was. And it said, when you go through, what town is Wofford? Wahlberg. It says, you go through Wahlberg, and then you take Highway 59. Or, no, 95. And I thought, in my mind, there was no distance, just the next point. And so I said, okay. So I went about, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles outside of Wahlberg. And listen, these are county roads, and you can see as far as you can see, and there is nothing. There is no town. You better have enough gas because there's nothing there. And I kept going and kept going and kept going. I thought, I must have missed it or something's wrong. So I turned around and went back to Wahlberg, went in a little store. I said, well, am I on the right way to 95? They said, yeah, just keep going. I said, well, I went pretty far already. They said, well, it's quite a ways. Quite a ways in Texas, yeah. And I got on there, and it seemed like I drove 40 miles. And sure enough, finally I came to Highway 95. And anyway, I finally got to Kevin's ranch. And, oh, I forgot to tell you this, too. It got cold. All I had was a light short sleeve t-shirt, not t-shirt, but a dress shirt that I was going to wear. I was in jeans and a dress shirt, short sleeve. And just as I was leaving the door when I left to go to the conference, I said, you know, maybe I ought to take this long sleeve shirt, and I just threw it in there. Well, listen, I had that long sleeve shirt on, and the wind was blowing, and when we got there, it was all outside. And everybody, you know, they had their hoods on, and they were all like this. And Cindy and Lee were there, and they were nice enough to take pity. They found a wrap or... Yeah, a little, some kind of little blanket or something. They threw that over me, and I was, oh, thank you. And Pastor Cliff Beveridge was speaking, and he was giving some doctrine for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we would sing a song. And then Pastor Bob was giving some doctrine from the Bible. It was a lot of people were sitting on, well, it was just pine trees that were cut in half. It was about this big. Looked like a little stool. Come to find out that one of the men there said that Kevin had cut down his pine tree and cut these stools out. It's about this big round for people to sit on. And we sang a song, and then we decided, well, we better go over out in the sun. We were under some trees to get a little more heat. And we went out there, and we started singing. And this is what I want to convey to you. I'm giving you an account of what happened. But it's only an account. There is no way I can explain to you, capture how meaningful that was to me and no doubt others. There were about, I guess, 35 people there. And we were out in the cold, all wrapped up. There was no music, instruments. And we were just singing hymns to the Lord. And it was to me like a Kodak moment. If you could capture that, but you see, you can't capture it in just reporting on it, and you miss out when you don't take advantage of going to these conferences or to be with like-minded believers. Because especially if you think, well, I don't know someone, I want you to kick that idea to the curb, like I said earlier. These people want you to be there. They are looking forward to interacting with their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it was just, I won't say magical moment, but it was just the beautiful day and singing after all that teaching. And then as I was standing there, a continued interaction. They passed out these little song sheets so you would know the words to some of the hymns. And this one young man that was, I just happened to be standing by. We were in this big kind of semicircle thing. Just standing out. Some were sitting out on the grass. And so we started to sing. And I said, I'm sorry. And he was holding it over where I could see it. Well, I left my reading glasses in the car. So I said, I appreciate the effort, but I can't see a thing on that. And we started talking. And I said, do you go to Austin Bible Church? He said, well, maybe in a roundabout way. I said, well, what does that mean? He says, well, I live in California, actually in San Francisco. I said, really? I said, well, what's your connection with Austin Bible Church? Well, I listen to the podcast and the things over the internet. And I said, and you came all this way to be at this conference? He said, yes. He said, I wouldn't miss it. And he asked me who I was, and I told him who I was. And he started asking me some questions. I said, well, are you in training to be a pastor? He said, I don't know really what, I don't even know for sure what my spiritual gift is. But what I'm saying is we had a great rapport. I could spend the rest of the time and telling you just what our conversation was. It was a terrific conversation, and he was a delight to talk to. And listen, he flew in from California, San Francisco, to be at that conference. And I agree with him. He thought it was well worth it, and I think it was as well. Who else did I see there? As I was talking to people, they just make you feel so at home. So that day, it's one thing to get doctrine in a setting like this, which we're used to. But just think, if I could just poof and put us out on Kevin's ranch in that moment, in the cold, all of us, I was just thinking, while that was going on, I was thinking, the Lord is looking down on these people, saying, this group is my special children. Because they are hungry for the Word. They're singing hymns to me, even though it's cold and their teeth are shattering. Is that the right word, shattering? Chattering, thank you. See, my flock can help me out like that. The others, they go, whoa. And it's just an experience that I wish you would have. And so you might think about that next time. And the last thing that I want you to do is have the idea that you don't want to go because you wouldn't fit in and you don't know anyone. Well, the way to get to know people, especially a group like that, is just to introduce. All you have to do is introduce yourself. And a lot of times you don't even have to do that. They'll come up to you. They'll introduce themselves and they say, we're glad to have you here. And you just start talking. So, by the way, I don't even know if we're going to get to the Star series today because I'm not through by a long shot. That's my attempt at somewhat of a report regarding the Austin Bible Church conference. And I'm always impressed because Austin Bible Church is a praying church, a big time praying church. And they've sent me emails, I think I've gotten two over the years, to let me know that yesterday in their prayer meeting, they were praying for Country Bible Church and for me specifically. Can you imagine what that meant to me? That church body, and they do that all the time. And so, again, what we can do is allow our fears and our actually concentration on ourselves keep us from benefiting big time. And what I'm talking about now is we have a prayer meeting at Country Bible Church as well. That might be news to some of you, but we have it on Thursday evening before we have Bible class. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to divulge something to you that is a good illustration of how you can think, well, I don't want to go to a prayer meeting. Well, what goes into your mind when you hear prayer meeting? Oh, something very solemn, and you might even have to pray. I wish most of you have not been to our prayer meeting. And you might be like I was when I went to Baraka Church, because they had prayer meetings. And I went there for I don't know how many years, and I never attended one prayer meeting. Because in my mind, I already figured I know what it's like. I don't know the people there personally, and I'd have to pray in front of other people, and I might make a fool out of myself, and I would be embarrassed. And I had it all in my mind, figured out why I would not go. And you know what? I missed out. First of all, we are commanded to pray. And I missed out because all the people and things that they were praying for that I could have been a part of, I won't get blessings for that because I wasn't there. Because I was too worried about what people thought about me. Our prayer meeting is fun. Isn't it? Where's... Isn't it? There you are. I have to look hard to find the ones that are there. And there's no pressure. I'm not trying to pressure you or sell anything, but it's my job to convey things that are on my heart that I think you need to know. First of all, you don't have to pray out loud. There are people who come to our prayer meeting, and sometimes they pray and sometimes they don't. But if you just show up at our prayer meeting, you are going to benefit because you're going to be praying for people and organizations, and you're going to be blessed by it, and you're also going to be fulfilling your obligation as a believer to pray. We are to pray constantly. And before, sometimes I have to just shut it down because we're having such a good time. Dot has a list of people we're going to pray for and organizations and things. And then we have people that are attending who say, well, I have a prayer request for so-and-so and so-and-so. And most of the time I say, okay, we've got to shut down now and it's time to pray. Because we're talking and just it's just such a great time. And one thing for those who come to our prayer meeting, I've decided we're going to be a lot more rigid and starting on time and sticking to our guns, and not because it's so easy to start talking. Well, I know Betty Sue, and she's got a liver condition. And then somebody, you know, I had a friend that had a liver condition. Well, what was hers? Well, her liver turned orange or whatever. Well, you know, that's what happened. And it just goes on and on in the conversation. Anyway, that's just, I don't want to call it a warning. It's just, you are informed that when we start at 6:30 this next Thursday, we're going to start at 6:30. And we're going to, well, now I'm telling you, it sounds like I'm all reg. It's going to be all regimented and it's not going to be any fun anymore. It is. I just have to limit it to a certain time. So, again, if you think that, well, I would feel awkward. We want you there. Just like when the believers at Austin Bible Church, they want fellow believers to be there. They just welcome you with welcome arms. I mean, they went to a lot of trouble in order to have this conference, organize it, and do all the great things. For me, they had a little gift bag that they gave me on top of all the wonderful rapport I had with the people. They even had a picture about this size. It was down on the table, like in front there, of all the pastors, and I didn't get to see it very well, but one person brought the one that was of me, and I'm in a Roman soldier suit with a sword, and they can have my head on the guy. I forgot that Pastor Bob said that I could have that. I need to email him and tell him, see if he could get that to me. It's all what I'm saying, all the thoughtfulness that went into it. And if you don't go, if you can make excuses because, well, I don't know anyone, and it's kind of far, and I don't know what it's going to be like, people miss out so much by letting their negative side just take over. You miss out so much in not being part of our prayer meeting, and most of the time, I suspect it's because you're afraid. It's fear. Well, I might not fit in. I might feel awkward. Listen, when we have someone that doesn't normally come into our prayer meeting, we do everything but bow down to them. I mean, we go out of our way to make them feel welcome, and there's nothing awkward about it. So you're missing out. And now, I bet you think I'm over, don't you? I'm not done yet. While I'm on this toot, I'm going to talk about what? Well, yeah, in the gift bag, there was so much thoughtfulness in everything that they were doing at Austin Bible Church. That there was food in that bag. That's a winner with me. They had cookies and crackers and candy and all kind of different things. So now back to the live streaming. I want to help you understand why I decided to have live streaming here at Country Bible Church. First of all, what I'm saying today is going to be available throughout the whole world. And we do have people that tune in from the Philippines and other places. That's one reason that I decided to do it, because there's a lot more people that can hopefully benefit by tuning in. Another reason is for the members here at Country Bible Church that cannot be here. And there's always certain reasons. We've had people who were recovering from surgery. We've had people who are ill. For whatever reason they can't be here, they can pick it up on live streaming. However, let me tell you what it is not for. It is not for members of this church. When I say members, we have a lot of people here who haven't joined. You don't have to join. If you're here, I consider you a member. So, by the way, I don't mean to sound like I'm not for you joining Country Bible Church. What that mainly is about, it enables you to be a participator in voting for certain things whenever we have things up for a vote. But it's not for people who would normally show up at this church, and now we have live streaming. Well, I don't even have to get out of my pajamas. I can just sit right there and watch live streaming. And maybe I'll get there someday, but in the meantime, it's very convenient. That's not what live streaming is for. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Forsake not the assembling together." We are assembled. That is a command. And one reason that it's a command is because how much more you benefit by getting face-to-face teaching. There is a dimension in face-to-face teaching that you do not get in any other way. Now, in the first century church, and when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, there were times that people couldn't come for the same reason. They were sick or whatever prevented them from coming. But they didn't have the luxury of, when they weren't able to come, to just get on the internet, and if you have a computer, get on the internet and see it live. They didn't have that. But that is secondary. That's not just to be used as a convenience. And I know personally that when I was going to church, Baraka Church in Houston, and we met every day except Saturday. And even Saturday, they would have Saturday night at the movies at Baraka, and I would go there as well. And it was easier for me to get dressed and drive all that way. It was easier than for me to put a tape in the slot and play it. Now that might not sound feasible, but you see, I got in the routine and I had my spiritual momentum going forward and I was learning. And I couldn't wait to get there and fellowship with the fellow saints there. And we would talk about the doctrine and what was going on, and we were lifting each other up. But the problem with a tape, or the problem with live streaming, if you're just using it for a convenience and think, well, I don't have to go to the bother to get dressed and go down and actually get it face to face if you can. The problem with that is, first of all, you're disobeying a direct command, is to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But you miss that dimension of face-to-face teaching. If you get our teaching on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's live, you can get it, and it's as close to being there and not being there, but there's a lot of things you're going to miss. But to see it, see what's on the projector, and hear it is a lot better than just the audio. But the problem is, you can always say, well, I didn't get it. I was, whatever reason, you forgot about it, or you were too busy, or what. I can always get it later. I'll just get it on the internet. Yeah, right. Listen, whenever you have the opportunity to be here and you're not, do you think that God doesn't notice that? When you have the opportunity to be here and yet you're at home, you say, well, I'll just get it on the live streaming. And the next thing you know, well, you just slipped right by me. I forgot about it. Or I was just too busy or whatever. Do you think God doesn't take note of that? Now, some of you may be great at putting in a tape or a CD or a DVD. There's so many ways to get it. But what I'm telling you is, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, but this is the only way I can reach those who are not here and maybe have a propensity to say, well, now we have live streaming and I don't have to go to church anymore. Hooray. Well, you're disobedient and you're going to miss out. And I wasn't going to say this. Maybe I shouldn't. But usually I do say things that I shouldn't. It's like what comes to mind is Bill Cosby when he was talking to his son that had gone way off track. Some of you will remember this. He said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Remember that? He said that to his son. Well, I'm saying to you, I brought live streaming into this church and I can take it out for whatever that's worth. You know, when I see you here, it's an encouragement to me. And even in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it talks about exhorting one another and lifting each other up. And after church, I am just so happy when I see all of you interacting with each other and you're talking and you're sharing and everything. It just lifts me up to see this, because this is what church is all about. Of course, it's about getting doctrine and learning and growing, but it doesn't stop after I'm through. I mean, you interact with one another, get to know each other. That's one reason that when we have our communion dinner after we have communion, I just love that, because I see you interacting, you get to know each other. And that's what a church is all about. We are not regimented that we walk into a church like robots. We sit down, we take our notes, we got our doctrine, we get up and we leave. We don't speak to anybody. We go home, we put our notebook in the closet. Look, I'm a spiritual giant because look at all the doctrine I have. How many opportunities did you miss by not interacting with other people and finding out how you might be able to help them? How you might be able to lift them up and encourage them? Maybe a word from you is exactly what they need. And to know that somebody cares. And I don't want this church to be that regimented. And what I'm doing is telling you how important it is for you to be here. To take your body and take whatever it takes to get it here. Because not only is it going to benefit you all the more, but God has designed the local church where you can help someone else with their issues as well. Even just seeing a group like this that are hungry for God's Word and like-minded lifts me up. Does it do the same for you? If I come to church on a Sunday and there's only about 40 people here, I have to say, okay, Lord, I have to remember that my job is to be faithful. And I'm going to teach the Word whether there's 40 people here or 400. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to teach the same. But I have to acknowledge to you that when I see so many empty seats, it's a bummer. It brings me down. And it's not that I can go around and say, oh, yeah, well, I have a church. It's 150 people there. Well, 150 people is relative anyway. What do you think Joel Osteen thinks about Country Bible Church with their 150 attendants? And that's what most people think. It's not that I want the numbers up so high that we can prance about and say, oh yeah, we're not a little church anymore. We got all these people. It's that you help me. You help me being here. You lift me up. And not only me, every person sitting out in those seats are doing the same thing. When you come to a church and you see a good attendance at a Bible church, well, you know how unusual that is? Do you know how many few Bible churches even have 100 people going to them? Very few. God has blessed us in this way. And just for the sake of convenience, they say, well, I'll get it on live streaming. Your own thin eyes. So, I guess really I'm not talking to the ones here, am I? I'm talking to the ones who are live streaming. And I have to remember, they have an off button on that computer. If they can't take it, they might think, I've had enough of this. I know what I can do with him. And that's all right. That's their prerogative. But then they have Christ to deal with. You know, there is still this thing called the judgment seat of Christ that is right around the corner. And let me tell you something. Even if you're a younger person, and thankfully we see some young people here, the time is short, even for you. And if you don't believe it, just blink your eyes and you'll be a senior citizen as well. Isn't that right, you senior citizens out there? Yeah, I got amen out of that one. I don't care about amens, but it's good to hear when you say something that people really can identify with. See, we feed off of each other. My job is to give you doctrine and lift you up and explain it in such a way that you can understand it. But you don't know that I'm feeding off of you as well. And I can look out there and I can tell right now who's paying attention and who's not. And this is the same every time I teach. I can tell who is really getting it and who is just here, oh, well, yes, I'm here, you know, like this. Now, I would never bring it up to anybody, but I'm bringing it up now so that you will understand. I'm feeding off of you as well. And I have to say something about my brother over there, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but he's such a great concentrator. He's not even aware that he does this, but when I'm teaching, sometimes I'll be scanning and I see him, and he's over there going like this. You know what that does to me? You're getting it. And I feed off of that as well. And I guess I didn't mean for this to be all inspirational, but I'm telling you what's on my soul today. And that's what my job is. Kyle Yates, the young man that's in prison in Florida, I was talking to him on the phone just the other day. And he's teaching Colossians. He's never taught a book verse by verse. Now, I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm talking about a prisoner. A prisoner that if you talk to him, he will just lift you up. He is in the devil's playground. If you even had an inkling of what he lives through every day, you would think, wow, I don't know how he does it. And yet when I get on the phone with him, he lifts me up. He is so hungry for doctrine. And he is teaching against all odds. They took his room away, so they had a little picnic table out in the area, and he was out there teaching whoever would listen at the picnic table. And so he had never taught Scripture verse by verse, and he said, you think I can do it? I said, absolutely. He said, where do you think I should start? I said, well, I'm taking Colossians. You're getting my notes. You might consider that. And so he was going to teach Colossians. And I think he taught maybe one or two classes of it. And then the next time I talked to him, he said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, do you think it'd be all right if I interrupted teaching the book of Colossians and taught about patience? I said, why do you want to do that? He said, there's just been some things that happened in my life recently about patience, and I'm really motivated to teach it. I said, you go for it. I said, we're not regimented. We don't have to stay on a schedule. And I said, you will teach patience better now that your blood is up on that than you ever will before again. I said, you teach it, and you teach it because you can't keep it inside. It has to come out because you're motivated to do it. And you know what he's teaching? That's happening today. He's teaching about patience. I said, you can always go back to Colossians. And this is what I'm doing to you today, or for you today. I am teaching what is on my heart and what I'm burdened to tell you. And the time is essentially gone. And we'll get back to the Star series. But I think that's what every pastor should do. Is not, fortunately, doctrinal pastors don't have a hierarchy. I just want to throw up when I think about a hierarchy. I went to a pastor's meeting one time. This happened to be the Lutheran church, and they said, we're going to prepare for next Sunday. And one of them actually invited me to come. I said, all right, yeah, I'd like to do that. I wanted to see what their doctrine was. I had my Bible, and I thought, man, this might turn into a debate. I'm just really up for that. Well, I went there, and I was totally surprised. You know what they did? The whole time they went over the liturgy that they were going to be teaching that Sunday. It was all written out for them. And they didn't have any choice being motivated to go here or there. They had the hierarchy, this is what you're going to teach this Sunday. And it was already written out for them. How can the Holy Spirit use that? And I always ask that the Holy Spirit, before every time that I teach, I ask that the Holy Spirit move within me for me to be able to articulate out to you what is in my soul. And I also ask that the Holy Spirit move within you, that you will be able to grasp it, that we can feed on each other, that I will lift you up and you lift me up, just as you're lifting me up right now because you're paying attention. And I see in your eyes that you're getting it. That's what it's all about. We don't have to cover so many pages in the Bible. We don't have to say that, well, we're in the Star series. What is he teaching today? Well, if that's your attitude, I would invite you to leave. Because you're not getting it. Well, that's too strong. Well, why not? Why are you here? Aren't you here to grow in grace? Listen, I have no doubt, not even the slightest shred of doubt, that I'm out of line or that I'm teaching the wrong thing today. Because it's the Lord Himself, through the Holy Spirit, that put this burden on me to cover these things with you today. And I know it. And so, we will get back to the Star series. I'm going to end with this. You can ask Carrie. I got home last night, and I had taught every single day last week. From last Sunday, I taught you. And then Monday, I hosted the Jim Breitel show myself, which was new for me. Tuesday, I taught Bible class. Wednesday, I taught the young people's class. Thursday, I taught Bible class here again. Friday night, I spoke at Austin Bible Church. Saturday, I was at Kevin Perkins Ranch. What a treat that was. And I came home yesterday. I got home about 4. I don't remember exactly the time. And so I thought, boy, I better really cram for teaching the Star series, because I wasn't as far along as I wanted to be to teach the Star series to you today. And my eyes were just, they kept watering. I wasn't crying. It's just that I didn't sleep well in the motel room. For some reason, I didn't sleep the night before very well. And I stayed up till 12 o'clock last night preparing the message on the Star series for you today. But God had a different idea. And when I was trying to sleep and when I got up this morning, it was just as clear as it could possibly be what I was going to do. So, one thing I want to tell you about the Star series, though, before I close. That is, I don't know if you understand how unusual it is to hear God's Word taught from the stars and not the written Word. Because you see, the written Word corroborates what the message in the stars happens to be. And there are exceedingly few believers that even know that God's message is in the stars. And even exceedingly fewer that have a pastor that is teaching God's Word from the stars. And I can't wait to get back into it because, well, I'm prepared. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I could spend spend another hour or two just finishing the constellation of Libra. And we get to Scorpio. Listen, Scorpio is my favorite one. All I have to do is show you the constellations that make up that little 30 degree area of the ecliptic, of the zodiac. When I throw that up on the PowerPoint and show you how those three deacons, those three minor constellations that harmonize with Scorpio, it will do all for me. It did all but bring tears to my eyes to see how clear and specific and how much God loves us in order to put that kind of message just in one segment of the zodiac. You can get the whole picture just from Scorpio. And I'm not through with Libra by any means. In fact, I made 11:30, I made another PowerPoint from scratch to demonstrate something with Libra that I haven't even gotten to yet. And for someone to say, well, I'll get that on the live streaming. Well, I missed it on the live streaming. I'll get that on the DVD. I'll get that on the website. Well, maybe they will. But it's more likely that you won't. Because if you want doctrine bad enough, you're going to get it. You're either going to be here or you're going to be live streaming if you can't. Pastor Emil Smith quoted me. I was very honored that he quoted me. He spoke after I did, and he quoted something that I said in my message, and I'll end with that. In the front of my Bible, on the inside, it says that there are people who have this attitude. It's called a take-it-or-leave-it attitude toward God's Word. And then under that, I say that those who have that attitude leave it a lot more than they take it. It all has to do with attitude. Prayer meetings, conferences, Bible class. The time is short, and none of us have any excuse to make our ego or our convenience the issue. If you do, then you're certainly not making Jesus Christ the issue, and that's what this life is all about. I'd like you all to please bow your heads. Since this is going out over the internet, there may be someone that has tuned in. And they need to know that if they don't know what's going to happen to them after they die, they need to pay very close attention. Because you can know. You can know for sure what your eternal destiny is. And it's all centered on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the center point, the focal point, from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ is the focal point in the message in the stars all the way from Virgo to Leo. And the message is that He is God's Son. He went to the cross, died for your sins. He was buried and He rose from the grave. And now here's the best news you will ever hear is that you can receive eternal life by simply accepting His atonement for you on the cross. In that moment of time, you are born again when you accept Christ's atonement. And you're not trusting in your works, but faith alone in Christ alone. And when you do that, you become a royal family member of God. Your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. And you can know for certain that you have eternal life. Then the issue is, what are you going to do with the time that you have left on earth? We don't strive to be able to make it to heaven. We don't try to be moral in order to make it to heaven or be accepted by God. It's time for us to grow up. The only way that we can glorify God now after we are saved is through learning His plan and executing His plan. And we have that high honor to do that whatever time that God has left for us. Now, Father, we're so thankful that You speak to us through Your Word in a way that nothing else can, reaching deep into our souls and knowing even the thoughts and the motivations of our souls. We pray that You will give us that heart that is hungry for You, hungry for Your Word, and that we will continue to not focus on our own convenience or our own ego, and we put all that aside in order to make You number one in our life. Then we find our purpose. We pray this all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.